It is.
Gotta wait for that.
I'm gonna try that again. Like I haven't heard it before. Welcome everyone. It is 5:35 and I'm pleased to call to order this meeting of the Tacoma Creates Advisory Board. Before we dive in, I'd like to greatly acknowledge that we rest on the traditional lands of the Puyallup people, where they make their homes and speak the Lushootseed language. Next, I'm going to do a quick roll call. And please stay present to make sure your absence is properly recorded. At this time, I'd like to note that the following board members have an excused absence: Sophia Akhtarop, Hutter Burt, Elena Mies, and Chase Williams will all be absent this evening. So let's see, Allison Campbell.
Present.
Megan Clark.
Present.
Cherie Cooks, present. Amanda Figueroa.
Present.
Roxanne Rhea.
Present.
Katie Mataran.
Present.
Naomi O'Connor.
Present.
Brian Robinson.
Present.
Great. For our check-in tonight, I'm just keeping it light and airy. And I'm wondering if you had your own late night talk show. Yes. Ardo, Allison's over here stressed. Who would be your first guest?
Oh.
They can be alive or deceased. I'll go first. My first guest would be Angela Davis. I would love to hear about her story and just that whole 70s movement. I'm very interested to hear it from the actual people. So that's who I would have as my first guest. And I'm going to pass it to you now, Allison.
Please. I do find the warm-ups stressful.
I'm a really big fan of the musician Rhiannon Giddens. I don't know if anybody's familiar with her, and she just won a Pulitzer Prize for an opera. And she was part of this band called Carolina Chocolate Drops. And she does a really great interview, like when you see her in interviews. So everybody should check out Rhiannon Giddens.
Rhiannon Giddens. Yeah. All right, thanks. Would you choose someone?
Oh yeah, Roxanne up in the corner.
Oy, this is a hard one.
I know.
I have about like 10 people, but the name that immediately popped into my head was the Dalai Lama. So I'll go with that.
Oh, but that just made me think of Dolly Parton. And who doesn't
want to? Oh, that's who I would want. Yeah, Dolly Parton.
That's a big stretch there. Sorry, but.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
How about them together?
Wow.
That would be it.
I have like two guests. So all right. I'll let you modify. Amanda it, up. You can have two guests.
Right. The dollies.
Would you choose someone?
Amanda.
Yeah, this person just happens to be on my mind. I think I would invite an educator. Her name is Laura Rendon, and she has done some really incredible work in higher education for equity practices. And she's been, I met her at a conference once and totally fangirled out and would love to have a couch conversation with her.
Awesome.
And I'll invite Katie.
Yeah, like everyone, so many options, but I think Lin-Manuel Miranda popped into my head. He seems so creative and charming. I would love to have a conversation with him. I'll throw it to Brian.
Thank you. I'll take Martin Scorsese. I like this trailer that just dropped today for I forget the name of the movie, but it's something. Interview where he was talking about like now he's so old, but he's just now getting like the spark of creativity. So I'd like to talk about that. And then I will pick Naomi.
I'm sorry, I did not hear the prompt. I was pulling into a parking garage. Can someone repeat it?
Sure. The warm-up was, if you had a late-night talk show, who would your first guest be?
Oh my gosh. First guest. I heard a really interesting interview with Barbara Kingsolver this morning, who's an author. I like a lot of her work, and she actually, I believe, just won a prize, a Pulitzer, I believe, for her new book, and the interview was great, so I would pick her.
Cool.
And I, sorry, who hasn't gone yet? I was not fully focused while driving.
Megan, Clarissa, and Lisa.
Okay, Clarissa. Oh. Thanks.
The person that popped into my head is he was a labor movement person. His name is Larry Itliong, and so a lot of people know about Cesar Chavez, but a lot of folks don't know that Larry Itliong was really the one who inspired him to unionize and all of that. And so he's like a big deal in California. So he's from Delano, and he worked in the grape field or grape farms. And it's AANHPI month, so he's kind of like on my mind. So.
He was Filipino, yeah?
He was Filipino, yeah. Yes. And his nickname is Seven Fingers because he lost his pinky and ring finger. Mm-hmm. He's like one of my idols. So.
Nice.
Yes. And I will pass it to Lisa.
Oh gosh, this is a good and tough one, Sheree. There's so many. I want to go to Katie's interview and Brian's interview a lot. Both of those are high on my list as well. I'm gonna pick I feel like I'm not positive I'm gonna say her name correctly, but one of the names that popped into my head was Meep Gies. Does anybody know that name? She was one of the people that helped hide the family of Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. And I have, I've seen interviews with her, and that's just a story that I've always been particularly fascinated with. I will pass it to Megan.
Okay, I couldn't figure out how to get off mute. So many people, Nina Simone, and then James Baldwin, and then Maya Angelou, and then, you know, I started to really think about, like, who has not, like, I've seen interviews or anything like that, and I thought, you know, I would interview my mom's mother, my grandmother. I used to call her mom, but she was one of the pilots that flew goods to when all the men were away, and she got her pilot's license, and she helped in the World War. So it's like she lived such cool times, and she did so many cool things, and she was just an amazing woman. And so I'd put her on.
I like it, Megan. Thanks for ending on that note. Appreciate it. All right. My co-chair, passing it to you, sir.
Sorry, let me unmute myself. Will someone make a motion to approve the May 18th agenda as well as the minutes from the May 1st meeting?
So moved.
Roxanne seconds.
Is there any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Was it abstentions? I can't pronounce it. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries.
At this time, we'll take public comments. Are there any public comments?
what I remember, there isn't. All right. So we all know this is a special meeting to approve our impact funding recommendations. We are the wonderful Tacoma Creates Advisory Board. It is part of our job to advise the great staff here on funding and other great things when it comes to Tacoma Creates. So thank you all for being here, taking time out on, what is today? Thursday. So we're going to keep this train moving so we can get this done in our allotted time. So Lisa, I'm just going to go ahead and pass it to you.
All right. Thank you, Chair Crooks. So we are going to go over the background before presenting the recommendations for impact funding. I hope you all got the email this afternoon and had a chance to look over stuff. But we'll go ahead and start our PowerPoint. And some of this background is the same or nearly the same as the background that we shared for the comprehensive organizational support funding, but we're gonna just go over it again. This slide is exactly the same as what you saw a couple of weeks ago. This is a budget overview for the next funding cycle, starting on July 1 of 23, going to June 30 of 24. I've walked through this before, so I'll just pause and ask if there are any questions or anything that people want me to go over in more detail. All right, and I will just flag that note that the biggest expense item is the cultural organization funding. And we have a budget of 5.9 for the coming year. So just you can hold that piece of information. Moving right along. We have the same five primary funding goals for all of our funding programs. So again, we don't need to walk through every single one of these, just have them here as a grounding of why we're doing what we're doing and what the money is meant to support. Okay. The application review process. The process is the same for impact funding as it is for comprehensive organizational support, but this has the information on some numbers. There were 56 applications received this year, several, as you know, went to the eligibility committee. There were 7 ineligible, so there were 49 applications that our intrepid panelists reviewed. And then they did all of the very hard work of reviewing and scoring and discussing, and it is their recommendations that we are going to be looking at in a moment. Okay. In impact funding, this is what's different about this from comprehensive is that organizations can provide programs that are for the general public, meaning programs for all ages or families, or youth education, which we define as classes or workshops for youth under 18, or both. In comprehensive organizational support, organizations must do both. In this category, they can do one or the other, or both. They also can do just a single program, or a single event, or a short series, as opposed to doing stuff all year round, which is an expectation in the comp category. There are some in this category that do stuff all year round. And there's 2 levels of funding in this category. This is new this year. As you will recall, we created a level A and a level B just to kind of differentiate some of the smaller asks and the larger asks of funding requests. We have review criteria that are detailed in the guidelines, so anybody can look at exactly what they are. The review criteria is essentially the same as for comp, although there's only 4 categories instead of 5 in impact funding. The criteria that supports youth education programs work is sort of woven into these 4 criteria areas as opposed to being a standalone criteria. These are the fabulous panelists. I will say that Sophia, who's not able to be here tonight, had a last minute emergency and was part of the panel, but wasn't able to finish the process, and so she's not able to co-present with Cherie this evening, but we very much appreciated her being part of it at the beginning. So I will to do. Before I hand it to Cherie, who may want to start with making any comments about the panelists before we go to the review slides, we have a funding summary. Let's go ahead and go to that next slide. So this funding summary, which we shared, is the summary of the total asks. And I want to just make a note that these amounts don't include some additional funding amounts that will be for the Tacoma Public Library and Beyond the Bell programs that will be an add-on to contracts once those programs are confirmed. So these numbers don't include that, and there will be asterisks for the organizations that may get that additional funding on the recommendations page. And we will have a slide after we go through the approval process. There's a slide at the end that looks at the summary of all of our funding, not just impact. So let me turn it over to Cherie.
Sure. Can we go back to the chat? Yeah. So these were the great folks that I got to work with. Obviously, we know that Sophia is also a TCAB member. You can see her titles. I'm not going to read everyone's titles, but Brian Boyd, Eli Boyd, no relation, but play cousins now, apparently. Faith Brown, myself, and Amelia Layton. Everyone came with great perspectives. Everyone had very unique backgrounds that I think lended well to the process. We had a combined total of approximately 300 hours of work. It's a lot, it was a lot, but I definitely learned a lot, for sure. We can keep going. All right, what am I looking at here? Is this for level, got it. So this is our panel recommendations for level A. As you'll see here, I'm not going to read all the organizations. We'll let it sit for a minute. I know you guys got to see the list, but you can see the funding requests, proposed funding. We did talk about, you know, different tiers as far as, you know, how to break up, excuse me, how to break up the percentage of requests should we have, you know, where if their score was 70 points and above, they get 90%. If their score is 50 and above, we give them 80%. There was a lot of discussion around that. And there was discussion around, should there be three tiers? Should there be four tiers? So we spent a little time on that and very grateful for staff to help you know, mitigate some of that conversation and help guide some of that, because I know most of us were new to that and had varying thoughts, wanting to be making sure we're being equitable across like the different level A, level B, mirroring what we did for both levels, but also like you'll see here for one of the organizations at the very bottom, Earthing Wise, we did not recommend any funding for them, but you can see the drastic change in the scoring. So that was our justification for that there, if you're wondering. There was a huge gap in compared to all the other ones in level A. Here's a long list in level B. Another thing I would like to say, one thing I enjoyed about this process is that some organizations I was already familiar with, some I were not. And I think that was the exciting thing, to see all of the cool things that smaller, medium-sized organizations were out there doing, whether it was year-long programming for youth, or just general programming. If it was just a one-time event, some things I had never heard of before, and they had actually, you know, done these things before. So it was really cool to be able to say, hey, moving forward as a TCAB member, as a Tacoma champion period, I can get to be an advocate for these things, get to let folks know about all these other opportunities, especially in my role trying to connect youth and families to other opportunities to engage out in the community. So there was also one you'll see here on the level B recommendations that we did not think should get any funding. Once again, you can see there was a drastic change as far as scoring from the lowest 31.4 to the next highest, that was 57%. And if anyone has more questions, I can share a little bit more about why there were two that we actually had on our list that we said that we didn't think there should be funding, not to say that they can't apply again. And if they have questions, of course they will be answered, you know, moving forward. Is there another slide?
After we'll do one more slide after we do okay. The recommendation. So I'll just note that we did ask everybody on TCAB to review the list for conflicts of interest, and we did not receive any notes about conflicts of interest. So, but just acknowledging that that was something that we made sure to check on. So I think you can go ahead and call for a motion.
Yeah. So I'd like to call for a motion to approve the panel's recommendation for 2023-24 impact funding, as you all have seen it.
I move that we recommend the funding spreadsheet.
Recommendations.
Recommendations.
And I second.
Thank you. Whoever clears the row down first.
Megan.
Any discussion? Second. Questions? Oh, Naomi. And then Katie.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious just to know a little bit more, Cherie, about those two organizations, one in level A and B, that were recommended for 0% of their request. I understand the point discrepancy, but I'm curious to know anything you can offer on that, and then is that precedented before, and what does that conversation look like, I guess, with them in terms of moving forward? Like you said, they would potentially be eligible to apply again next year.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I will leave that last question for Lisa, but as a panelist, and that was a general consensus for all of us, and I want to say all of us, for like the, for level A, the Earthy and Wise, well, in general, they did not meet the criteria as far as what, you know, meeting the primary funding requirements, their capacity, feasibility, their community impact, things like that. And then just in general, as far as like talking about their program, this program, I would say, was geared towards, or ideally geared towards elders. But when it came to talking about what they were going to do, they kind of got left out in the scheme of things. So it was like, it sounds like a cool idea, but how are you really going to incorporate elders? And there's so many other ways to do that. So it sounded like they had a bright idea, but it wasn't really well fleshed out. And so that was the biggest thing. We very much, I want to say everyone very much stuck to, you know, the different criterias and things like that, but we also took in consideration their proposal for what they were asking and, what they said they were going to do. But if it was like, okay, this is what your organization is, this is what your proposal is for, it doesn't really match. There's no cohesion there. For the second one, Tacoma Art Bus had been around years ago. I think they had been on like a 7-year hiatus. So they wanted to get started up again. But there was a few things as far as, I'll call out some of the things that I noticed was, while having a bus that travels around to different galleries seems cool, our art sector is on a great public transit, system already, in my opinion. Okay. Also, they were charging galleries and smaller galleries to be a stop on their tour. Okay, that's not very equitable. The way they spoke about when it came to their diversity and equity kind of statements and talking about those things and the way they were going to try to, support communities is, oh, we'll have a couple free tickets for low income people to ride the bus, to ride your bus, for one night a week, where most galleries and most, our major museums are already open for free. A lot of them you can already visit for free. It just didn't seem like, I felt like there were other ways that people could access our art sector without the bus. And that, if we're thinking about how to be inclusive to the whole community, if it was something that people are looking to participate in, as far as if I want to take my group of, young Black males to the museum, I'm probably not going to take them on the art bus. It just wasn't very inclusive, so those are just a couple of things. And I just didn't think their proposal was very well thought through. And it could be, them being gone for so long, right? It's a new landscape also. 7 years is a long time. So not to say that it can be a good idea, probably, thinking about partnerships and how to expand in a different way, if you go to the different neighborhoods and pick people up, because that wasn't a part of it. I think they met in a central location and then traveled to the different galleries. So there's different ways to be and more inclusive. And that was a big thing for me personally, was the equity piece and the inclusion piece was really important to me. And so the second part of the question, or the third.
Sure. So the question about what does the conversation with them look like? And that is that we absolutely invite organizations to ask for feedback. We offer it, say, please schedule a time to talk with us. That's true for all organizations, whether they're funded or not, whether they're, different levels of funding. We want to share the feedback. And we get, as many of you know, panelists are expected to write comments for every criteria area. And so we have comments from all of the panelists, plus the notes that Clarissa and I take during the panel discussion that address how organizations' applications did and didn't meet criteria, so that we can give very clear feedback as to why. There is a note in the chat from Roxanne about, did either of those two organizations seek out help or information from Tacoma Creates? One of them did and one of them didn't. The one that did, I would say we provided a fair amount of support. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's still just the what they were able to put together just didn't meet criteria. Mm-hmm.
I know Katie has a question, but really quickly to this, I noticed, and I don't know if Brian caught this too, one of the organizations that last year, I think we did end up funding them, but they scored fairly low unanimously by our panel. I noticed this year was recommended for full funding. So I don't know what happened in that window, but obviously some capacity building or something happened that you all, that they were able to submit a successful application this year. So hopefully those two organizations will.
That's so cool. Thanks for mentioning that. And thanks everyone for answering. And thank you to the panel for all of the work and that was put into this. And it's so exciting for me to look at the list and see so many organizations that I've never heard of. And I'm really excited to engage with them and learn more about them and excited they're getting a chance to receive funding from Tacoma Creates.
Yeah, for sure. Katie.
I have two comments and a question. So just sort of following on that discussion, I think it's reflective of the difficult decisions you had to make, but also the responsible stewardship of public funding that not everyone was awarded funding. It's the act of applying doesn't grant money. The act of meeting the criteria does. And so I'm sure that was difficult for the panelists to do that. And I'm a notoriously hard grader, but like, I appreciate Sheree that you could explain that. And you clearly thought about it so much that off the cuff, you could explain reasons why they were chosen not to be funded. So I just applaud that effort. I'm sure it was very difficult. Second, just an amusement. I love that Write253 had the highest score because of course their grant writing was really wonderful. That just like charmed me. And then the third question was, I noticed that Residual had a 51, but was getting 70% of their requests, but in funding in impact category B, there were two that were a little higher and they were getting 60. Is that just based on how much money was left or was there a reason why they were getting a higher percentage with a lower score?
I would say that if you notice in level B, there's twice as many organizations as in level A. So it's basically based off the money. The money that had to be, spread around. There's so much more folks in level B. So basically they're asking for more money than level A. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Were there any more questions, comments?
Allison, yes, I did notice that. It kind of, I wouldn't say it stuck out to me, but I was just like, oh wow, like I would really like to see what happened there. But I'm glad that they made it back and they were able to improve on their score.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to say thank you for all of the people that took the time, for you guys that, you know, went through the funding panels. As somebody who's done it twice now, it's definitely a rigorous process and we just really appreciate the time that you guys took to do that. So thank you.
I will say, I joked about it last time, like I will not be doing impact funding again. Comprehensive, sure, but it was a lot. But I also think the season of like work life was a lot going on too. So that just kind of contributed to, you know, everything that was going on. But I also learned about, you know, I've done, you know, this kind of thing before, but not on this level and the time frame. So I digress. I'm going to call to vote. All in favor? Thanks, Megan. All opposed? Any abstentions, Lisa? Apparently we've been saying it wrong, Brian.
You know, it finally came to me, but I was like, too late.
All right. So 2023-24 impact funding recommendations have been approved. Yay. Get it. Thank you everyone for your time and attention to this process. And of course, we'll make sure all the panelists get more thank yous and they'll be notified that it has been passed. Yes, yeah, I thought so. Next steps will be staff will work with these organizations to confirm their plans and deliverables for the coming year and then get contracts written. So Yeah. Is there a timeline that when they'll hear exactly?
So we are doing things a little bit differently this year than we did last year of trying to get the initial notification out as soon as possible. So not quite tomorrow, but next week, we'll try to get notifications out next week of just the funding decision. And then within a couple of weeks after that, we'll be in touch about updating deliverables and really working on the contract process, which is really, that's where there's a lot of, Clarissa and I spend a lot of time talking about this and talking about the right approach and trying to find the balance of how to make that work the best way possible in terms of the level of specificity that we should have for these kinds of contracts. So we try to get the funding year starts July 1, so we try to get the contracts done in June. Cool. And I have one more slide to show to go back and just kind of do a recap, because now that you all have approved the funding for both Impact and Comp, we have a slide to just show the overall contracts. So on the top section here is for the coming year, 23-24. So you just approved 1.6 for Impact. You had already approved 3.9, almost 4 for Comp, which means 5.5, almost $5.6 million in funding approved for 23-24. And then I put last year's, rather this current year, as there as a point of comparison, right? So it's a pretty significant increase in dollars. Also noting that we're going from last year, 58 organizations were approved for funding. We actually have 57 contracts in the field, but 58 organizations were approved for funding and 65 are approved for funding this year. So that's an awesome increase in terms of more organizations that are being supported in Tacoma. It's also, you know, an increase in the admin work that we get to do. But it's
How does that 5.58 number line up with what you had budgeted for this year for both?
Yeah, so we have 5.9 was what the budget was. And remember that this does not include the Beyond the Bell and the Tacoma Public Library. So it will be right in the right ballpark.
Yes. Another question. So I saw that the city just approved several hundred thousand dollars for summertime safe zone teen spaces. Will Tacoma Creates be involved in any of that?
That is an excellent question, and do not know yet.
Okay.
There's been discussion about that, and it's possible. It's certainly possible that there are organizations funded by Tacoma Creates that independently will find their way to that work.
Right.
Whether or not we have a direct connection with that is not known yet.
And then Megan.
Hi. So I would love to be it in any way, shape, or form. I've been talking to people at the district level about the state, whatever safe zones, whatever they're going to call it, because I just found out some information today that I'm going to clarify on before really going hard on it, but that outside organizations could. That Tacoma Public Schools will provide the space and security, and that outside organizations could possibly run those safe spaces. I'm hoping that that means that they're bringing community in and organization, grassroots organizations that, you know, Tacoma Creates has funded things along those lines, but I'm hoping that that's what that means. I'm going to clarify this information because that sounds a lot better than the alternative. So I'm hoping that they're going to be calling community in.
Sorry.
What now?
I said, is there an alternative?
What I've heard is not, you know, we all know what the alternative is, people that are just getting paid to
to fill a space.
To fill a space, and then kids are not going to show up because they haven't vetted it with community. And so, you know, it's hot. The alternative is a hot mess, Sheree, and we are not exactly going with the alternative. Yeah. So I will push and kick and scream, and they're going to hear me one way or another.
Definitely excited to hear more about that. Just in my role too. See how that's going to be in it.
Don't you worry. I'm bringing you with me.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Megan. Are there any other questions on this before we take down this slide with the funding info?
No. Well, I do have a question. Will there be a presentation to the council?
We haven't planned one right now. We typically have like a once a year one, as you know, because you co-presented with us. So I don't know if there's going to be an opportunity to do it before then, but there might be. And there are, as we've said before, there are some meetings happening with individual council members to start the conversation about reauthorization.
Mm-hmm.
So far we haven't talked about a full council presentation, okay, but it could happen.
I'm just wondering if they get to know about.
Okay. They will definitely be included. Oh, we will do, in addition to notifying the organizations about their funding, we will do a press release, we will do a newsletter, and we will make sure that that all information goes in the weekly report that goes to council members.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right. Upcoming engagement, looking at you, Allison, can you remind us what's happening?
I know, 7 o'clock at the Grand Cinema, 30. Films under 4 something minutes, and I'm sure they'll run the gamut. They were all made in 72 hours, so it should be fun. Yep, there's food trucks, and I have one free ticket. If anybody wants to go, I have one more free ticket. I think it might be sold out, though. But that means you're committing to 2 hours of 30 films.
Megan, is your hand raised again, or are you just in lower? Okay. I was passing about the armory, and they've got the Utopia Gardens sign, you know, advertisement.
Looks very cool.
That does look really cool. I think I want to check that out. But does anyone plan on doing some Tacoma Creates funded programming before we meet again? Naomi, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's not a future one, but it's something I did that this past weekend. I went to one of the healing movement workshops by Barefoot Collective, which was one of the organizations that receives impact funding. And I had never done anything with them before, but it was awesome. It was really welcoming, super accessible. You didn't have to be like a dancer or have any sort of movement experience to participate. And it was a somatics workshop, so really focusing kind of on the mind-body connection for healing. And was super cool. Got to talk to a lot of people, and they have a show this coming weekend at, someone tell me how to say this correctly, Wapato, I've heard it pronounced different ways, Park, or correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, they have a show, it's site specific, a bunch of different choreographers, and it looks awesome. So please check that out. I'm performing in a show this weekend myself in Seattle, so I can't be there, but wanted to pass that on.
Great, thanks. Anyone else?
For once, I am quiet.
I'm planning on going to the Grand.
What was that, Megan? Sorry.
I'm planning on to their, have a, their, it's in camp.
I'm
Seattle,
sorry, Megan.
I forget the name of the.
Megan, I hate to interrupt you, but you are totally cutting out. We didn't hear anything you said.
Well, that's not, that's me
dropping. You might have to put it in the chat. and sounded interesting. I think maybe you're putting it in the chat since you went back on mute, but yeah, every other word you were cutting out. Okay. All right. Is there anything else?
Well, I'll just share for those who enjoy cultural events. The Puyallup tribe's first fish ceremony is on Saturday at the landing site on Marine View Drive. It starts at 10, should go till 2 or 3. There's the ceremony and feast, and all are welcome. It's open to the community. So if anyone would like to go, you're welcome to visit and take it in.
Thanks, Katie. What did Megan say?
Megan said that she's going to the Grand for the documentary on the homeless encampment, Second Chance.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks, Megan. Okay. All right. Well, I think we could get ready to adjourn. You sure Roxanne is your last chance?
I know. Like, what's up?
What are you doing with your time, Roxanne?
The big spring concert.
All right. We'll look forward to hearing your updates or what you got going on when we see you in June. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your time. As usual, staff, stick around for a little while, and we'll go ahead and adjourn at 6:22. All right. Good night. Thanks, everyone. Thank you all.
Thank you. Great work, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Roxanne.